Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
So before I get to my sermon, I'm going to preach the sermon I got during worship. I just want to share with you what the Lord began to drop in my spirit. And as I was over here, I began to hear the sound. I began to hear the sound. I didn't hear a sound. I heard the sound. See, Elijah, when he went up on the mountain, and we read in In 1 Kings chapter 18, when Elijah went up on the mountain, you know, there had been a drought for three plus years, and there had been no rain. And so Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal, and he showed up on the mountain, and he defeated when they came in, and the prophets, he said, you make a sacrifice and you call upon Baal to answer. I'll make a sacrifice, build an altar, and I'll call upon God. And I'm going to tell you, there's no substitute when you call upon God. Amen. And so he began to call upon God, and God spoke immediately, and the fire came and it destroyed, it burned up everything, the altar, the sacrifice, it lapped up the water, and there's no substitute for God. But he goes up on a mountain and he says, I hear the sound of rain. But the Lord began to speak to me this morning. I began to hear the sound of a miracle. I begin to hear the sound of healing. I begin to hear the sound of what you had need of. So what you've got to tune your ear in, what do you hear in the spirit? What sound are you hearing? Are you just hearing a sound? Something's going on. Something. I hear something. I don't know what it is. He didn't say that. He said, I hear the sound of rain. This morning, are you hearing the sound of your blessing? Are you hearing what God is speaking to you today? You know, we've been in a 3+ year drought with COVID. We've been in this thing of fear with COVID. Believe it or not, there are people today that are just as fearful as COVID as they was in 2020. There are people that hear that word and they get all panicked. They get 45 feet, you know. 4 masks, 12 shots, you know, I'm protecting. But I hear the sound that my God is on the throne and my God is releasing something today, because there's no substitute when God shows up. Amen? And we've got to hear the sound in our spirits today. So praise the Lord for that. And I just want you to begin to expect God to do something great and more powerful than he has been. And he's been moving. But today, as I speak, on no substitute for faith. When the pastor called me back in last of July, I said, I'm going to do a series in August for there's no substitute for. And he said, I thought you might want to do one. I said, I'll do faith. He said, I knew it. My wife said that's what she's going to pick. Because I have been a faith preacher. And I carry that title. I'm not ashamed of it. There's been people that have looked at me over the years and said, are you one of them faith preachers? I said, you're not. What do you preach? Doubt and disbelief? Down on Dead End Boulevard? I mean, I'm going to preach faith. Because there's no substitute for faith. God wants you to have faith. He doesn't want you to come to a dead church. He doesn't want you to come to a church that says, you know, I hope so, church. There's no faith. There's no substitute. You don't need to go to a wish to list. You know, so many people have, oh, I wish. No, I know. You know, I was preparing this message, and I'm going to be preaching today or sharing scriptures out of Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. And I'm going to be sharing the other scriptures out of Romans chapter 4, the Abraham faith chapter. And 3 years ago today, when we started our church, or 3 years ago, 29 years ago, it was the third Sunday. It's been 3 weeks. 29 years ago, on the third Sunday, I got up and I determined to preach a message. You've heard me tell this story because I practice it. Now, you think it's funny to practice? Can I tell you a secret? Last Sunday, I went back to say something to the pastor in his office, and his door was shut, so I knew not to bother him, but it has a window. And he was practicing his sermon. He slapped that desk, and sure enough, he slapped that desk, but his water turned over. But he was practicing his sermon. Well, I came to church on that third Sunday, and I was practicing. I was practicing because I had to move from here, so I wanted to move over. And I practiced on Romans 4:21 that I've been fully convinced. And for the last 29 years, I've been fully convinced of what God had promised He's able to perform, because I've not found any substitute for the promises of God. I've not found any substitute for faith in God. I'm going to tell you, faith is knowing and believing that you have or will receive what you have need of. So what do you have need of today? What do you have need of today? You personally, what do you have need of? Do you have need of a miracle in your life today? Well, you're not going to find any substitute other than faith to receive your miracle. God is in the miracle working business. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and we're going to kind of go through this book here because it's powerful. It'll build your faith. You need your faith built up. This is not a positive sermon series, because there's no substitute for faith. You can't substitute positive thinking for real faith. You've got to have faith. And when you have faith, you're going to know that you have faith. Sometimes you just got to know. And I've said it, and I've got it in my notes, but sometimes you got to get it in your knower. How many have a knower in here? You know that you know that you know. I mean, sometimes there are some people say, "I don't know what you're talking about." Well, you don't have a knower. You got to know. My knower is my faith in God. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, verse 1 through 3, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. Yes, the reality. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. So when you exercise your faith and you begin to, what you hear today, I hear the sound of my miracle. I hear the sound of my healing. What in reality do you see? What do you see when you begin to look that way? It says, for reality of what we hope for the evidence of things not seen. But in the spiritual, you can see. In the spiritual, you got to see. You got to see God doing the miracle in your life. But many times we go through life and we say, "I have faith," but we keep seeing Bozo sit there laid back doing nothing. Come on. All the time we're saying, "I'm believing God for my healing because I got this bad hip." And every day you're looking online for bargains on wheelchairs. A wheelchair is not a substitute when you need a miracle in it for a hip surgery. Amen? What are you believing God for? So it tells us that through their faith, the people in days of old, and the people of days of old earned a good reputation. They earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed by God's command. That we now see, what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. That's a miracle. That was the miracle that was coming. It's faith. It was by faith. It's the scriptures teaches us, and we can read it in Genesis, but it says here in verse 4 that it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering than Cain did. What will you mean by faith? How did Abel's sacrifice by faith be more acceptable? See, the difference, when you read it in Genesis, it tells us that when Abel brought of the first fruit, in other words, when the first lamb was born, he sacrificed it. He brought it to God. Now, Cain, on the other hand, was a tiller of the ground. And many people tried to teach, well, the reason God liked Abel's offering and not Cain's because Abel's was a blood offering. That's not the case here. Because it says that Cain, in a matter of time. So what does that mean? That means after he already had his bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich off that first tomato, when he ate that first ear of fresh corn, when he cooked up that first big batch of green beans, after he had his fill, after he done filled up and canned everything, well, I've got some extra. I think I'll give it to the Lord. Come on now. I know I got on some toes and I'm speaking to us, but it was the process. It was acceptable because there's no substitute for faith. I can give of my first fruit and God will bless me. God will provide. And so it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable gift. Verse 5, it was by faith that Enoch was taken to heaven without dying. Amen. Enoch was so close to God. He had so much faith in God. And that he walked with God so close that one day they got out on a walk. And all of a sudden, Enoch noticed, hey, I'm closer to your house than I am mine. I'll just go home with you. And he went to heaven without dying. He walked by faith. Amen. We can see also in verse 7 that it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. It was by faith he built a boat. Do you realize he didn't know he needed a boat? He wasn't building it on the water. He built it on land. And because God said it was going to rain, what's rain? Tell me what rain is. I've never seen rain. It had never rained on the earth. Why do I need a boat? It was by faith because God said it. And that settled it. Amen. There's no substitute when you hear the word from the Lord. When God tells you to do something, you quit going around and trying to find 20 people to give you a different opinion because you didn't like what God said. Amen? It was by faith. God said it and he believed it. And so we read in verse 8, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave his home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. It was by faith. Hey, God spoke to me. God's got something better for me. God wants me to go over here. What's over there? I don't know. Well, why are you going? Because God said it. I don't know. I'd get a second opinion. You know, and too much of the church is always looking for a second opinion. It was by faith that you act. And in verse 9, it says, and I just love this part right here in verse 9, that we miss it sometimes. It says that in verse 9, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. He lived there by faith. Sometimes we get to the place God has tell us to go and say, well, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Oh, I don't know. It was better in Egypt. I think I'll go back to Egypt. You got to live by faith where God places you. And Abraham lived in that land. For he was like a foreigner, it says, living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Most people began to look at substitutes for just after a few years of something. But he never looked for substitute. They look for substitute. That's why so many people change church all the time. They're looking for a substitute, something better, something different. But I'm going to tell you, when you find the place where God is, where the word is preached, where God is honored, where miracles happen, that's where you hang on. Even when times get tough, even when struggles get tough, you got to hang on. You know, back in 1994 or 86, what year did we go to Evangel? 89. I'll get it right one of these days. In 1989, we started going to Evangel. And my first day driving down 245, I knew how far it was. But for some reason that morning, I was looking at every mile. 2 miles, 10 miles, 12 miles, 15 miles. And I was thinking, this is a long way to go to church. This is a long way to go to church. Look here, there's a church there, there's a church there, there's a church there. This is a long way to go to church. And I drove down there thinking, this is the last time. This is the last time. But you know what? I got to that church down there that morning, and I'm going to tell you what happened. And this is how it was. I'm sitting up there in that chair, and I was laid back, and they were preaching. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, you get, man, that's good. That's good. And I was sitting on the edge of my seat. And when they said, go home, what? Go home, it's just getting good. How many feel that way when pastor's preaching? And he says, that's it. That's all I got. And you say, man, you were just getting good. But I was on the edge of my seat. And so what happened? I drove all the way back home. And then that night, drove back. And you know, then I went to Louisville. I worked every day in Louisville. I went to work Monday, Tuesday, drove home on Thursday night and got right back in the car. Just going to church. We drove right back to Louisville. For 6 years, there was no substitute where we were getting fed the Word of God. There was no substitute to being at a place that we can get in the presence of God. I'm telling you, there's no substitute, and I've been around. There's no substitute for this place. There's no substitute for this place. I'm going to tell you, you got to get it in your spirit, man. You've got to begin to realize that it was God that brought you here. In verse 11 of this text, it says, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. It was by faith, you know, she cried out and cried out. They even thought she was drunk because she cried out and for so much. But it was by faith that she was able to have a child. In verse 17, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Wow. Wow. Think about that. Abraham gets a promise from God that he's going to have a child. He's going to have a legacy, and he waits for this, and he waits for it, and 25 years before the promise ever manifests. Now he's got a child, and this child gets up as a teenager. And then God says, okay, I want you to go sacrifice Isaac to me. And he said, what? Hey, let me make a deal. I got a nice lamb over here that's no spot or blemish. I can sacrifice that. I tell you what, I'll give you two lambs. You know, did you think that he had a sacrifice? But no, it was by faith. God said it. Come on, son, we got a trip to take. We'll get back to that. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac. Verse 20, it was by faith that Isaac promised blessings to his future of his sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that he made them. I'm going to tell you, how many are laying hands on your kids and blessing them? You need to bless your children. You need to lay hands on them and speak a blessing. Pray a blessing over them. It's something that's important. You need to pray blessings over your children. Amen. Verse 22, and it was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, he said confidently, he said that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. Here he is about to die. He said, confidently, he said, I'm confident in this, that you're going to leave Egypt. And he even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. I mean, he knew they were going to leave. There was no substitute for that. It was by faith when Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born in verse 23. In verse 24, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. These people had something inside of them. They had the promise of God. They knew the promise of God, what God had said, and by faith they walked and did what God called them to do. There's no substitute. Verse 28, it was by faith Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the death angel would not kill their firstborn. I'm going to tell you, there's no substitute for the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no substitute to act in faith. I'm going to tell you, during the COVID, we put the ribbons on our doorpost. We put red ribbon over our lintel, and it's still there. We refresh it every year because we believe by faith the death angel passes over our house. COVID passes over our house. Oh, I can get really frustrated, and more so with the people that are so afraid of COVID. Wow, that's another day. It was by faith, in verse 29, it says, it was by faith that the people of Israel went through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. Wow. There was no substitute boat, no ship, no ferry. It had to walk through the middle of it. There was no substitute. Verse 30, it was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho 7 days and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith they obeyed. It was by faith that they did these things. How much more, verse 32, how much more do I need to say? I love that in that verse. You're reading about people of faith and of things that they did because there was no substitute for faith. And then the writer says, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of faith of Gideon, Barak, and Samson. And he reads on the other names there. But he said it would take too long to read all these names. How much more do I need to say about faith? I ponder that. How much more do we need to preach faith? Wow. Do you get it? It's time to get it. It's time to understand it's by faith. It's all by faith. Yes, I'm a faith preacher and proud of it. It's by faith. And it says in 33, by faith these people overthrew kingdoms and rulers. Wow. It was by faith that you can stand up and declare and decree and see God do things. It was by faith. There is no substitute for faith to receive the promise of God, because it says that by faith they overthrew kingdoms, rulers, and justice and received. Come on, somebody. And received what God had promised them. Received what God had promised them. By faith they received what God had promised you. God has promised you divine healing. God has promised you divine healing. God has promised you divine healing. Have you received it? Have you received it? By faith, you can receive what God has promised you. Amen. It's by faith that you must receive it. It's by faith that God wants you to listen and get a hold to something today. Verse 34, they quenched flames and escaped the death of the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. By faith in God, your weakness will be turned to strength. They became strong. I'm going to tell you what, when God, you get a hold of something of God, it's going to burst something in you, and you're never going to be the same. God don't want you to be the same. Amen? And it says, all of these in verse 39, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. I'm going to tell you, when you walk in faith, people are going to look at you funny. They're going to talk about you, but in the end, you're going to have a good reputation. You're going to stand strong. You're going to come out on top. You're going to do what God teaches you. They all live by faith. Amen. Romans 1:17, and says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. What do you do when you get faith? You go to more faith. From faith to faith. Believing today, believing for tomorrow, believing for next week, believing for whatever. Faith to faith, from day to day, faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. See, when Abraham got to the land, he lived by faith in that land. Amen? Live by faith. The just shall live by faith. How many really want to live by faith? Really? How many really want to live by faith? It takes a challenge. Because the devil's going to throw a lot of stuff at you. He's going to come against you. He's going to tell you, you can't make it. You're not like that pastor. You're not like this. You're not like that. But you can do it. You can live by faith. I'm going to tell you, when you receive a miracle by faith, the hardest thing about a miracle is the morning after. That's when most people lose it. When they get up the next morning and they feel a twinge. Oh, I knew it didn't work. I knew that Brother Joe didn't know what he was talking about when he said I could read that last night. I don't know how that happened. Went back to blindness. I'm going to tell you, faith is real. It's not something you can fake till you make it. I know if I heard you say that before. I'm going to fake it until I make it. I'm going to, There's too many Christians going to church. There's too many preachers preaching that I'm going to fake it till I make it. I want to live by faith, and I do live by faith, and I'm going to live by faith. You know, many has been introduced to a new word lately. And I heard Brandon, he read this new word, and then he had to use it in a sentence. And his wife was really poking him a little bit about it. But there's a new word that fit this. And many of you have been exposed to a new word called cladding. How many heard the word cladding lately? This way I'll know how many's been into the Accelerate groups. If you haven't been in an Accelerate group, you probably haven't heard of the word cladding. But cladding is a veneer that you put over something. How many couldn't afford the real oak furniture and bought the veneer oak cabinet that looked like it was real? Boy, you were proud. It looked real until you left that Coke glass sitting on it and that water bubbled it up. And look at that thing roll up. And you say, man, the cheapo didn't work. It was veneered. That's what some people's faith is. There's no substitute. You can't clad over your and say, I got faith. And there's too many people do it because when the first headache gets, oh, I'm going to die, you know. You know, 2 or 3 years ago was the first headache that I've had in probably over 40 years, isn't it, Becky? You know, I know people that go through when they go to Walmart, they can't go to Walmart or Kroger's without buying an extra big tall bottle of Tylenol or Advil or whatever. Other than when I had that headache a couple of years ago, that was the only Tylenol I'd taken in probably 15, 20 years. But you know, do you say you don't head don't hurt? I rebuke it. I don't have time for you. I don't have time for this. You rebuke it and you go on. If you have faith, you have faith. Somebody posted something. If you know, you know. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you get something in your knower, you know. You know that God's the healer. That God is the deliverer. He'll deliver you. Amen. Faith isn't something that you put on to come to church. Well, it ain't something you put on. Oh, here comes the Christians over to the house. Let's straighten up. Let's talk different. Let's be positive. Let's let them not see what really goes on here. I'm meddling. But faith is not something you can just fake. You can't put it on. It's something that's got to be inside you. It's something that's got to get down inside of you. You know, like I've said it over and over, it's got to be something that gets in your knower that you know that you know. And when you get it, you know that you got it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Many are still scared today of, like I said, of COVID. They're still scared today of that gloom and doom. I mean, I look at the smart news on my iPad every day. And I get all these emails every day talking about the banks are collapsing. The bank's going to collapse on March the 22nd. And then the next week, the bank is going to collapse April the 12th. And they keep telling you, I've read hundreds of when the bank's going to collapse. It doesn't matter if the bank collapses. For my God is able to take care and provide all that I have need of. I still remember back in 2008, in June of 2008, the Lord gave me a scripture, and it says, found in Psalms 37:25, David said, "When I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread." And so, you know, one of the things that we see, thank you, when I began to declare that to the church in June of 22, June of 08, we began to speak it that week and the next week and the next week and the next week and the next week, and then September came, and then the crash came, and layoffs came, and people lost their jobs. Not a thing came near this church. Not a person lost their job. Well, I take it back. One did because she was wanting to quit, and she didn't take an alternative. But I'm going to tell you, God will take care of his own. And I remember playing golf, with a couple of preachers. And it was actually, Christmas Eve, beautiful day. And they called that morning when I was playing golf. And the first preacher was like, "Whoa, it's been a bad 3 months. The ties have gone down. Boy, it is, but people lost their job." And then the next preacher, "Whoa, it's worse over in my church." And the third preacher, "Whoa, it was worse over in my church." And then finally, I wasn't saying a word, and they said, "What about yours? Everything's up. Everything's lovely. God is on the throne. Everybody's blessed in Jesus' name." I hold that putt because I was right there on that green. I'm going to tell you. When you get a hold of a promise of God and you don't let go and you begin to speak it. See, and when COVID came out, when it came out, the first thing the Lord spoke to me and Pastor at the same time. He spoke this in 2 Timothy 1:7. "I did not give you a spirit of fear." And we began to declare that over and over and over this church. I'm going to tell you, you get a hold of something. You get a hold of faith down in you. God is going to move and do something. Amen? It's time to get some faith down in you. There's no substitute for walking by faith. It's faith like the woman with the issue of blood we read about in Luke 8:44-48. She said, "If I can touch the hem of his garment." Woo! Here she was, an outcast. She wasn't supposed to be out in public, but she had an issue of blood. She needed a miracle. And she said, "If I can touch," I'm going to slap to death like Pastor Ed. "If I can touch," look at there, I'm better. I practice that. "I can be healed in Jesus' name." What did Jesus say to her? He said, and he said unto the daughter, "Be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole." Wow. There's no substitute when you get a hold of faith. There's no doctor, there's no prescription that's better than faith. I'm going to tell you, I'm not against the doctors. They got to make a living too. But I'm going to tell you, I'd rather take the gospel than the doctor pill anytime. Amen. There's no substitute for faith. It's like the Roman soldier found in Matthew 8:8, when it says, just when he was asking about Jesus, about healing his son, Jesus, okay, I'll come. I'll come to your house. No. Don't have to come to my house. Wife hadn't made up nothing. It ain't clean. No, he didn't say that. He said, don't come to my house. Just say the word from where you are. Just say the word just from where you are, and my servant will be healed. Matthew 8:8. And then in verse 10, Matthew 8:10, Jesus heard this. He was amazed. He said to them that followed, I tell you the truth, I have not found a great faith as this. I have not found a great faith as this. Can he say that about you and about your miracle? I have not found a great faith as this. Too many have developed that surface faith. They aren't able to stand when the trials come. Ephesians 6:10-18 tells us to put on the full armor of God, that you'll be able to stand against the devil. Who you're standing against? The devil. I heard a guy say the other day, he said, he told somebody he was under attack. And he knew what he meant. He's under attack by the devil. And the person he was talking to said, well, who in that church has something against you? It ain't the church that's against you. It's the devil that's against you. You got to realize that you fight against the powers and rulers of darkness. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. Your problems is not your neighbor. Your problems are not your boss. Your problems is with the devil. Amen? And you fight with faith is how you stand against it. There's no cheap veneer that will chip or come off when you have faith down inside. Amen. You know, after you pastor along, you can tell the ones that are trying to fake it till they make it. But it's time for genuine discipleship. It's time for genuine Christians to stand in faith that say to this mountain, be moved from here to there and see it moved. It tells us in Matthew 15:27-28, and she said, and I spoke of this here a couple of weeks ago, the woman that came to the disciples and wanted healing for her daughter, and the disciples looked at the Gentile woman and wouldn't even talk to her. And Jesus ignored her. And he even called her a dog. And the woman said, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs eat crumbs which fall from the master's table. She said, I don't need the bread. I don't need the loaf. I don't need two extra stored away. I just need a crumb. I just need a crumb. How many can say today, I just need a crumb from the Lord? And he answered and said to her, oh woman, great is your faith. Oh, my desire is the Lord would look at me one day and say, great is your faith. Great is your faith. See, when we started 29 years ago, there's people took odds. They took bets. 6 months, maybe a year. You know, you'll never make it in Bardstown. It's a preacher's graveyard. You'll never amount to anything. But we had a word from the Lord. We had a promise from the Lord. You must radically shift toward faith needed, that's going to be needed to stand in the days that we're in. I'm going to tell you, I'm preaching on faith today because I don't believe the faith that you've had up until this point is going to get you through to some things that are about to take place. Now, I knew you said, you couldn't get through a positive sermon without throwing a downer in it. No, I'm throwing some truth in it. Are you afraid of what's coming ahead? No, I'm not afraid. Because this morning when I got up, God was still there to greet me. Amen. When I got to church this morning, he was still in the house. I'm going to tell you, you're going to see some things happen. And starting right now, this month of August, you're going to see some things starting to happen around the world. You're going to see some things crash and some things fall. You're going to see people get so fearful that it's going to be worse than in the 1928 when the Depression hit. But not for the church. Not for the believer. Not for the believer. Not for the believer. Not for the one that has faith in God. Amen? Now, a lot of you didn't like me saying that. But you got to know, I got to get my faith. I got to shift a gear in my faith. I got to get some faith down in my knower. Amen? But things is happening. But we must make a radical shift. Abraham made that radical shift when God tested him. When I was talked to a while ago, when he said, take your son and sacrifice him. He was willing to do that. Amen? In Romans chapter 4, and I don't have a clue how much time I got, but I think we got all day. Amen. In Romans chapter 4, in verse 1, Abraham, who was humanely and humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation, did not... What did he discover about being made right with God? This scripture, it says, if his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have something to boast about. But it was not God's way. For the scripture tells us, Abraham believed God, and God accounted him as righteous because of his faith. God counted him righteous because of his faith. For what's taking place, you're going to have faith. You're going to have to, and there's no substitute for it. Amen. There's no security substitute for faith in God. It tells us in verse 6, David also spoke of this when he described the happiness to those who declared righteousness without working for it. Oh, what joy for those who disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. See, this is what happened when salvation comes in. David is talking about it. It's not by works that you're made righteous. David, he's saying here in Romans, what David was saying, it's by the divine nature of God, the forgiveness of sin by the cleansing with the blood. Amen. And we can continue on down through this whole chapter of Romans chapter 4. And we can see things happen over and over. And in verse 10, how did this happen? It was counted as righteousness only after, he's talking about after the circumcision, or was it before his circumcision? Clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. God accepted you while you was yet a sinner. He forgave you as a sinner to be made whole because of faith in him. Hallelujah. Verse 13, clearly God promised to give the whole earth to Abraham as his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on the right relationship with God that comes by faith. By faith. By faith. It says this in 13, if God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. So the promise is received in verse 16, by faith. It's received by faith. There's no substitute to receive the promise of God. It is by faith. It is given as a free gift. And it tells us over in Romans 5, 8, that, you know, but it is a free gift. You know, I'm just kind of skipping through and going down through this, but this whole chapter, we get down to verse 19 and 4. It says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. I see that the biggest mistake in Christians. The biggest mistake in Christians is wavering at God's promise. They come and you pray for them. And one day I had a sister in the church that has passed, gone on and been with the Lord. But Benny Hinn was coming to Louisville. And, everybody was pumped. Everybody was excited. Joe, that Benny Hinn was coming to Louisville. Gotta go. Gotta go to Benny Hinn. Gotta go get my miracle. And he's a great preacher, and great miracles happen. So this lady, she came up, and she wanted prayer. She said, Benny, you know Benny Hinn's coming to Louisville? I said, yes, yeah, I know he's coming down there. And she said, I want you to pray that I would feel good enough that day to go down to get healed. What I was hearing, you're not good enough to pray for me to be healed, but you're good enough for me to feel good enough to go there. So I prayed that she'd feel good enough to go. And you know what? God answered that prayer. She went. But she came back. She didn't have her healing. So my prayer was better than Benny Hinn's. Amen? He answered mine. But sometimes we put a man as the substitute. We put who's coming as the substitute. We put the guy on TV as the substitute. I preached a word one time that it was a download in my spirit, just like Pastor. Pastor preached on authority last Sunday. I preached this message. Man, I'm going to tell you, it was good. I knew it was. You ever preached with old Rick when you just didn't, whether they knew it was good or not, you knew it was good? Yeah. I preached it. Nobody said a word. Nobody said a word. Came to church on Wednesday night, and everybody said, oh, did you hear Joyce Meyer on Tuesday morning? I said, what'd she preach? They started, it was awesome. It was the greatest word I ever had. And they started telling me, and I thought, I've heard that before. I went back and got my notes. Yep, I heard that on Sunday. I preached that on Sunday. So Pastor preached on authority, and Kent Christmas gives us a prophecy about authority. Everybody, wow, did you hear Kent Christmas? Did you hear Pastor last Sunday? Did that not touch your spirit? Did that not come alive in you? Did that God give you authority this week over the enemy, over the devil, over sickness, over disease? Wow, you have the authority. There's no substitute for the authority that God has given you. There's no substitute for the faith to receive what God has given you. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor, you ever preach better than they shout? Well, amen. But it says here, and because in verse 22, or verse 21, I can't do this. I got to back up to 20. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promises. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And then, you know, I say, I want your faith to grow stronger. I know some of you got some faith, but it's little faith. But just be thankful you got that little faith for right now. But it's got to be stronger. See, the disciples came to Jesus, Lord, help our unbelief, help our faith, help us get stronger. It says that Abraham grew. He never wavered at believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this it brought glory to God. And he was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he promised. I'm going to tell you, if on this very Sunday, 29 years ago, if I didn't get fully convinced of what God had promised and what God said he was going to do, we would have never progressed to this point today. But I'm going to tell you, that morning, 29 years ago, when I said, and become fully convinced right then, the head knowledge of what I had said 1,000 times, literally, I counted it, I calculated it, I had said it over 1,000 times. I am what, taking the word of God, I am what it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I knew that. When pastor would get up and hold his Bible to the, shut my eyes, close my ears. I am what it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. Man, I knew that. Some of y'all know that. Some of you know some great scriptures. You can quote scriptures all day long. But you don't have faith to blow out a match when it comes to some of the scriptures. You don't have faith to stand on it. How many can quote the scriptures out of Philippians 4, 13 and 19? Oh, come on, you don't want to raise your hand right now. You don't want to raise your hand right now on those scriptures, because I'm going to call you out. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Pastor, would you help me through this? Would you pray me through this? I thought you just quoted, I can do all things. Oh, I can't do that, Pastor. You're asking too much of me. I can do all things, but when you're away from the pastor, you know, he shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Oh, I just need a little help. It's quiet. It's getting quiet. Let me give you some good news so you won't be so quiet. You can shout. Amen. Verse 22, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteousness. And when God counted him as righteousness, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit that it was recorded. Verse 24, for our benefit too. Why is so much recorded about faith? It's for your benefit. That God is no respecter of persons. That God, what God would do for any of these in the Bible, he'll do for you. What God has done for me, what God has done for Pastor Jeremy, what God has done for Sister Becky, what God has done for Brother Joe, what God has done for Brother Lou, what God has done for this one or that one, he'll do it for you. Amen. Wow. It was for our benefit. It was for our benefit too that he did this. Mm-mm-mm. There's no substitute for faith. For Hebrews 1:6 says it is impossible to please God without faith. How many want to please God? Amen. How many want a miracle from God? How many want to be healed? It's by faith. It's by faith that you received your healing. It's by faith. Now, when we pray for you, you may not feel a tingling. You may not feel anything. But if you believe, God's touching me. God's healing me. I'm healed by the stripes that Jesus took on his face. I'm not looking for a sign. I'm not looking for something to be seen in the physical, but I'm believing in faith. You guys can come up. I'm believing in faith that I can be healed. There's no substitute for healing, for the miracle of faith. There's no substitute. But you must have real, genuine faith. You say, well, I don't know if I've got real faith. Well, we'll pray for you to get real faith. Amen? I've got some ideas. You may not like them. But we can get you some faith. Nothing is worth, better than faith. Because if it was, we'd have something to boast about. Look at me. You know, in 29 years, I'm going to make a confession here. 29 years pastoring a church, I've never healed not one person. Never not healed one. But Jesus sure has healed a bunch. Amen. Not in 29 years, not one person have I ever saved. But Jesus has saved a bunch. Amen. In 29 years, there's been great accomplishments. Great things have been done. Great miracles have taken place. But not one can I say I did it. But Jesus has done them all. The same Jesus that we started with 29 years ago. The same Jesus I started with when I was 17. The same Jesus some of you started with back in the whatever years they were. Is the same Jesus today. Is the same Jesus today doing miracles. There's no substitute for Jesus. There's no substitute for salvation. If you're here today and you're not saved, if you were to die today and you said, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, there's no substitute for salvation other than Jesus. You can't be good enough. You can't fake it till you make it. You need to accept Jesus today. And I'm going to tell you, when you accept Jesus by faith, it doesn't matter if the preacher next week does a better sermon than I have. You don't get re-saved again. I love these ministers that come in and they preach and they want to boast. Boy, I went over to Pastor Freddie's church and 12 people got saved. Woo! It was a great day. 12 people got saved. They didn't know that you've been saved for 12 years. You just didn't know it. Because you've confessed it week after week after week. When you confess that I'm saved by the blood of Jesus, you're saved. Amen. Now, you may have sinned and need to repent, but you don't need to get re-saved. Salvation is by faith. There's no substitute for salvation. But if you've never received it, you need to receive it today. Amen. Nothing else, lest a man should boast. It's faith, not works, not being good enough, but faith. There's no substitute. There's no substitute for miracle working power of faith. Stand to your feet. Now, do you have faith today? Is your faith stirred up? That you can have what it says you can have. That you can do what it says that you can do. It says that by the stripes that Jesus took upon his back, you were healed. By the stripes that Jesus took upon his back, you turn to your neighbors and he's talking to you. You are healed.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast. and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.